Hey, Pharmacy Podcast Nation. This is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. Today's episode is about collaboration with physicians, pharmacist to physician teams. More important than ever before, decreasing healthcare costs, the impact of better patient health, the carrying out and the adherence of medication programs, medication therapies, and the importance of pharmacist collaboration back to the physician. Today we interview Dr. Mahesh Mulani. He is a publisher and a special book, which today's podcast is brought to you by Tough Decisions in Care of Elderly Loved Ones, The Dignity, Safety, and Quality of Life by Dr. Mulani, and we're excited to deliver this interview to you on today's episode on the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Hey, pharmacy owners out there, thanks for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Running a pharmacy business isn't easy. The obstacles for succeeding today are tough. When I came across a product that gives pharmacy owners an edge, I get excited. That's why I want to tell you about the Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack. The UltiGuard Safe Pack is an FDA clear product, and when pharmacies dispense these pen needles, they see consistently higher revenue and higher margins. With Pen Needle UltiGuard Safe Pack, you're doing more for your patients and more for your pharmacy's bottom line. Go check it out for yourself. Go to UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. That's UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. Once again, UltiGuardSafePack.com/podcast. And let me know what you think. And thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast. Pharmacy Podcast listeners, Pharmacy Podcast Nation, welcome back to the Pharmacy Podcast. I'm excited today to bring back Ken Sternfeld, known as the concierge pharmacist, the founder of RxVIP Concierge. Welcome back to the show. Ken, how are you?
Good, Todd. Good. Little unsettling times, but it's good to be back with our Pharmacy Podcast Nation.
It is unsettling. It's really the time where pharmacists and physicians team up to stand and serve the public and our patients as you had committed to long ago when you took that oath. And today is a very special episode because we get to introduce and collaborate on this podcast with Dr. Mahesh Mulani. And he is an internist. He's the adjunct professor of medicine and medical director of three nursing homes. And due to his immense popularity through his publishing on Amazon, which is a book called Tough Decisions in the Care of Elderly Loved Ones, he has a huge social media following. You met up with him, Ken. I'd like you to introduce him to our Pharmacy Podcast Nation. And Dr. Mulani, we are very honored to have you here.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you, Ken.
Well, it was wonderful to meet you, because Dr. Mulani, because I have my own personal physician, and I've been working with him collaboratively for the last 4.5-5 years, and realized the value of that side-by-side, peer-to-peer initiative. And when I had the opportunity to chat with you about 2 weeks ago, we saw great synergies and great reasons, because the pharmacist and the physician do have a high level of respect for each other. And I wanted to bring you on today to talk about some of your experiences in your practice. It's a very large practice, and some of your visions as a physician relative to addressing issues like polypharmacy and deprescribing, because I think they are right on target with what can assist us all in delivering better patient outcomes. So if you could just talk a little bit about your background and your practice, I think our listeners will get a very good overview of what we have here.
Yeah, I'm a practicing internist and with a huge interest in elderly care, and I have a big number of geriatric population, which I follow as a physician in the nursing homes and as well as in my office. And that is basically I do. I'm practicing for the last 15 years. And because of my interest in elder care, I just published a book, Tough Decisions in Care of Elderly Loved Ones. The book was basically inspired by the fact that patients and their families, when I see them, they are literally torn apart by the decisions they have to take when their parents are going through tough time in their lives, and parents as well as the spouses. You know, so many elderly people have spouses who are going through tough problems, and so that inspired me to write the book, and that's all I do, you know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I do social media. I write things on social media about elder care, mostly elder care, but some certain medicine things also. Locally, I have a big Facebook following. We live in a very small town, but I try to educate patients through my Facebook, and that's why they follow me.
Well, I've been following you for a little bit, and I'm certainly a newbie and an infant in the social media world, but you are certainly someone I do follow, because the geriatric patients were living longer. There's more chronic care issues we need to deal with. I find it to be a very interesting area of healthcare, and an area that we as pharmacists feel that we can need to really roll up our sleeves and help that population. We'd be remiss if we didn't speak about that population today under the, you know, the scenario and the unsettling environments we all have based on the coronavirus. So your perspective is also very, very valid for our perspective as pharmacists about what's going on in your practice with those patients.
Well, this is very good that you brought this coronavirus topic also in this. Actually, what if you see healthcare professionals and people above 60 are the one impacted the most as far as coronavirus is concerned. I was listening to Peter Hotez, who is an authority in vaccination. He's at Baylor University. And he said that 15% of healthcare providers, which includes nurses, doctors, physicians, I think pharmacists also, were severely infected with the coronavirus in Wuhan. So healthcare workers were, and we all know that most of the people who died because of this virus are the people above 60. Although there are people who got infected and did not do good even below 60, but the number is much less. And that's why elder care is very important. That's why the nursing homes are taking extra steps. And that's why we have almost closed down the whole country. The whole world is shut down right now. Not practically, but, you know, in a mode of not doing too many things. And it is because we want to protect our healthcare system, because we cannot overwhelm it. And we want to protect our elderly people who are above 60. Not everybody above 60, we should not call them elderly, but above 60. You know, that's the right word to use.
Well, it's a combination of the age and the underlying chronic illnesses that they have been dealing with for to get to those ages of 60 and above. So it's that combination. And it's just... it's so sad that we are looking at a situation that no one knows. This is not a situation that any of us have dealt with, and no one knows what tomorrow will bring. We always plan for the future and plan for things that are catastrophic, but it just appears that no one could possibly predict what's going to happen, even day by day, hour by hour, as this pandemic just rears and just roars across the globe.
Yeah, and the way, like, three states, I know, like Kentucky governor today said they are going to make the restaurants only take out only from tonight. I think Illinois said that yesterday, and Ohio state also, the governor said the same thing. So No, I mean, things, we don't want big gatherings, basically. We want to discourage that. We don't want sporting events. We just want to be, you know, careful.
You know, the state governments are obviously being extremely proactive. Here in New York, we have a governor who isn't shy about speaking up and speaking out. And, you know, those closures here include, of course, all the schools, which impact the education, but also the workforce. I mean, those mothers and fathers who send their children to school, sometimes they get two meals as part of their education, and that's their child care. So if schools are closed and those children are closed, those parents can't go to work. So we're not going to talk about, because we don't know what the global impact of this is financially.
We don't know.
It'll just be immense. But what I see is that a state-by-state moving forward initiative doesn't make any sense to me. Because right here in New York, if they say close the restaurants at 10 o'clock, but in Jersey they say 8 o'clock, and in Connecticut, it's 6 o'clock. I mean, there has to be a vision, a plan. We're almost at war with this virus, and
correct.
You know, it's not a political stance that we're taking. I mean, the debate last night spent a good portion of it on the coronavirus. But I think we all just need to come together, and we need to realize that even outreach, even if you're healthy, just call. I mean, I'm not at Dr. Goodman's office today because, again, we don't want anyone coming into the office except if it's acute or a situation. We don't want those regular visits because those put people into environments that potentially will spread this virus. But we're calling out. I called out to patients just to make sure that they know that we're here and they know that we care. This is the most, I think, collaborative initiative that as a global, healthcare system, we're undertaking. And I hope something good comes out of it after we get through these pandemic challenges.
Dr. Mulani, when I entered pharmacy, it was an institutional long-term care pharmacy in the technology space where we had pharmacy systems managing the entire operations of a long-term care pharmacy. It was very tied into the communications with the physician that was staffed to go into those skilled nursing homes and assisted living centers as well as home care to communicate the ongoing therapies from the physician to the pharmacist and allowing the consultant pharmacist to dig into those therapies ongoing to ensure that the best outcomes were there. And when I think of the most fragile of our citizens throughout the country, really throughout the world, I think of those seniors. I think of the frail senior that may not have the best of health for whatever reason. And when I read on your insights through your new book, The Tough Decisions in Care of Elderly Loved Ones, and you present that dignity that's involved in care, which is a big part of that. It's not just about medications and prescribing. It's really about the heart of this all. I also think of cascading prescribing and how many times physicians are under such pressure to see as many patients as possible that sometimes multiple physicians are involved and we get up to 8, 12, 16 prescriptions a day. And then a consultant pharmacist has an opportunity to make an assessment. Can you share, just based on your experience, your collaboration with consultant pharmacists in the senior space?
Well, senior space, I think they do a tremendous job because, I think pharmacists come at least once a month to the nursing homes and they do recommend, these which medicines are not important. And this patient did not have a Dilantin level checked for some time. This patient did not have a Digoxin level checked. And this patient is on thyroid medicine without TSH for 7 months and things like that. They do recommend amazing things and they provide amazing service to serious citizens in the nursing homes. I would just tell you a few things about me, myself. I believe in deep prescribing real big. When I started going to nursing homes, I saw so many patients were on daily meloxicam, daily ibuprofen, daily, you know, 80 milligrams of Lipitor, and they are demented. They don't know what is whether they are going or coming. They are not even, they are on these puree diets and taking 80 milligrams of Lipitor. You know, they're like, many of them are even contracted and getting these medications. And I was like, why are they, like, some of them were on four types of vitamins. Why? I mean, multivitamin and vitamin D and B12 and E and C, you know, different combinations of vitamins and fish oils. I mean, a person who is on puree diet, I don't know how can they have fish oil in their diet. I mean, what, especially contracted person, demented person on puree diet, what fish oil will do for their health? I mean, I cannot find anything. And whether the dementia will get better, to be very frank, all these patients who have severe dementia, we should cut down the medicine as much as possible. Patients are on tremendous number of diabetes medicines, and their A1Cs are running 5.6 and 6. And whenever I see a 5.6 A1C in an 80-year-old, I'm like, I feel like crying. It means they are having a lot of hypoglycemic episodes, because at that age, so many people skip meals, and which is not good at all. So many patients are walking with a blood pressure of 100 over 60. And when you ask them, do you get dizzy? Yeah, Dr. Mulani, I just get dizzy when I get up. Oh, wait a minute. You know, that means a fall is waiting to happen. You're not getting dizzy. You're getting lightheaded. So it is so important for us to de-prescribe blood pressure medicine, de-prescribe hypertension medicine, de-prescribe these Eliquis and Xarelto's in people who are 95-year-old and demented, you know. So this is, I mean, so pharmacists add a great value, and physicians also should look into that. Both, I mean, I see that more than physicians, pharmacists are telling physicians in the long-term care what to do, and not many physicians are as much proactive in the long-term care as much as a pharmacist are, because pharmacists, you know, I interact with a lot of pharmacists, I mean, not a lot, but those who come to nursing homes, and they tell me, Dr. Mudani, yeah, not many physicians are paying attention to these, because patients are still going to 6 doctors. That's the problem also. You know, even in nursing homes, patients are going, like, who are not able to make good decisions for themselves, but their families are dragging them to 6-7 doctors. You know, we have to limit doctor visits, and most of the doctors are so prone to writing prescriptions instead of stopping prescriptions. So primary care physicians, it is their huge responsibility to do prescribing in those settings. And also primary care physicians need to step up the game in those areas, I would say.
Well, the area of de-prescribing through polypharmacy is the area that really we focus on as concierge pharmacists, and it's not about the word of concierge. We're just pharmacists who practice in a non-dispensing environment. We're not concerned. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be prescribers. That's not why we went to school. We went to school to be the medication experts, to assist mm-hmm. the physician in his or her desire and need to prescribe the right medication, and then have it managed correctly for adherence purposes and to avoid side effects, adverse reactions. So when I got into what I'm doing now at the point of care with Dr. Goodman, our focus was on de-prescribing, but I took it from the approach that if I saw a patient who had 8 medications or 9, or Todd said 16, I had one who had 22, I said my goal when I sat with them was to eliminate at least one prescription. And the way we did it mm-hmm. was through pharmacogenomics, because if those medications are given on top of each other in what I like to call the cocktail, when I would see it at CVS filling those medications, some of the drugs are given to offset the side effects or the components of the drugs that are being prescribed. So if you can identify the right drug and the right dose that's metabolized correctly for that patient, then there is an absolute opportunity for the doctor to review changing the medication to the right drug that's metabolized correctly, certainly, to avoid adverse drug reactions, which kill more people than we can even believe, 125,000 last year. And then they can actually reduce some of the other drug regimens that are being prescribed to offset some of the side effects. So collaborating with the physician and providing that information lets you or her do the right and the better job relative to polypharmacy.
Yeah, this pharmacogenomics, I'm not into it much because of the insurance reasons, you know. I am not sure all the insurances are paying for this.
But one of the things
you can shed more light on this.
One of the things we spoke about when we spoke a couple of weeks ago is that we don't want our pharmacists or our physicians to focus anything more than on the patient. Between the billing codes, between the insurances, between the reimbursements. It's a ridiculously detailed. I didn't go to school for billing codes. I went to school for medication expertise. Mm-hmm. So with our strategic relationships with the billing codes, with the labs, we work with the people who actually take the lab detail and translate it so you as a physician don't get 36 pages of information. You can see it. So it's valuable. And all of those questions about reimbursements and insurances, as you'll see when we discuss it and make a presentation to you in the group, you will see that those things don't have to be on your plate. And we will absolutely show the benefit of utilizing that information to increase the outcomes of all of the medication management protocols that you use. So we're excited about that opportunity.
That will be great to know and understand and all that thing.
The other thing about it, and we all struggle with it, whether we're pharmacists or physicians, is the time we get to spend with the patient. So the other initiative that we focused on from day one with RxVIP through collaboration is to do things with and on behalf of the physician, always under their direct supervision, to allow them to spend more time with the patient. That is the missing link, in my opinion, in healthcare. The doctors are becoming administrators. They're being worked by the system to do things, to worry about this and that and the other thing, when the patient care is what we all went to school for. So our collaboration always takes into consideration reducing the workflow, the workload of your staff and of you in compliant regulatory fashion under your direct supervision in the office and remotely, based on CMS guidelines and insurance guidelines. So we want you to spend more time with that patient. We want you to be able to do what you went to school for while we do what we went to school for as medication experts.
Yeah, and that is what I believe also, but there are things, I wrote on LinkedIn, that created a little bit of a stir on LinkedIn that many of the pharmacists saying that they should be allowed to prescribe also. And this is where the collaboration between pharmacists and physicians will collapse, in fact, then it is like, do you guys follow soccer or understand soccer?
Yes, I do. I don't play it because I'm I'm too
so it is like soccer is 11 players, there is a striker, sometimes a couple of strikers, there's a goalie, defenders and all those, and midfielders everywhere. So the striker's goal usually is to score goals, okay? The goalie's goal is to stop goals. They are both part of a team. That is exactly their role is. One guy is there to stop goal. Even he uses hands, goalie uses hands to stop the goals. And the striker tries all the his effort to score goals. But when the goalie says, hey, let me do some of the striker jobs, and the striker says, let me do some goalie thing during the game. So what will happen is both of them are trying to pull each other's legs, basically, and they are not working in collaboration as a team. So I'm all for teamwork as long as we enhance each other's roles and as long as the healthcare improves with our collaboration. Like, you know, sometimes a pharmacist comes to my office and they want me to sign a collaborative agreement so that they can do a strep test and flu test in their office and write prescription. This has happened, not sometimes, it only happened once. But I was not comfortable in signing that agreement with the pharmacist because I don't know the pharmacist's skills. You know, why should I do that? They said, we will send the patient back to you. I don't want that patient back to me. Just send them directly to me. And I will prescribe any medicine and I send it to you. So you dispense the medicine and give me opinion on that. If there is medicine, patient side effects or adverse reactions or some contraindication or something else. But if we do like pull each other's legs, then we will not be working as a team. Then we will be hurting each other. So like the pharmacists working in nursing home, they are doing an excellent job. They are enhancing the work of a physician and they are providing amazing service. So if we should work in collaboration as a team. This should be the collaboration that everybody works to their maximum potential. But if pharmacist says, I will do your job and I will say, then I say, okay, I will prescribe all these, not prescribe, I'll dispense all these medications in my office too, you know. Then basically we're pulling each other's legs and it is bad for patient, bad for our own professions, professional growth and all those things.
I agree with you, doctor, because from day one, when I walked in to my own physician 5.5 years ago, and I said, I want more for my profession than I was getting in fast food pharmacy, just flipping burgers at CVS. I said, I want to be what you offer your patients as a provider. I want to practice at the height of my license and my diploma like you do. I want to be the best damn pharmacist I can be. I do not want to be a doctor. Okay? I do not want to do what you do. There's a difference between being a prescriber and being a provider. And I think the issue in our profession, and I can only talk for myself, I'm not making any blanket statements, is that when you are dispensing the medication, you haven't been able to separate yourself from that part of your business, because the more prescriptions you fill, the more revenue you make. So when we started RxVIP, and I sat down with the people who were going to join me in my dream and my quest, I said, we will not dispense any medication. There will be no counting of inventories, no dispensing of medications. I don't care if they shop at CVS, Walgreens, the corner drugstore, or the community drugstore, or mail order. We want to be the best pharmacist that we can be so we can help the physician. And when Dr. Goodman heard that, he knew that he was bringing a professional peer-to-peer clinician provider focused individual into his office, not someone who would want more prescriptions steered, which is illegal, to a pharmacy that I owned. And I just feel that if we want to be in the D world and do everything with Medicare D, then that's where you'll be, in dispensing. I couldn't have gotten out of St. John's 45 years ago if I was getting D's. I want to be in the B and A world so that I can work with the physician at his or her side to grow patient outcomes, to increase reimbursement, to increase quality measures, and to ultimately help more patients. And it's a culture. And what we've created is a paradigm shift for pharmacists to work right with you, doctor, right with you, so you will feel that we are the perfect partner for collaboration.
Yeah, that sounds very good to me, and I've discussed with you before also, and I would love to listen to your talk soon, your presentation, and see how we can enhance each other's roles and how we can help each other in our goal of making patient care better.
We appreciate that opportunity in advance, and we'll be doing it this week. Todd, I want to ask you one question to add to this conversation. we don't generally bring physicians like Dr. Mulani into the world of pharmacy. But you, as the voice, as the friend of pharmacy, you know, we do have, you know, on occasion, you know, that perspective. But with Dr. Mulani's perspective of elder care and the coronavirus is how it's affecting, I believe that bringing a doctor of his credibility and vision and activities in the healthcare system benefits the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. So I would love to make myself available to doctor anytime he wants to collaborate on our platform to reach more healthcare providers in our profession and really talk the talk of how collaboration is the key to success.
Absolutely, Ken. I believe in that collaboration because it's much more effective for the end game, which is the patient's better health and better ongoing health. If you're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast right now, you're a pharmacist and you can share these podcasts with other physicians that you have developed relationships with or would like to use this podcast as a way of opening doors to physicians. It would be a beautiful collaborative support tool for you. And I'd ask that you reach out to Ken Sternfeld, part of the Concierge Pharmacist Movement, to really learn how that collaboration can increase based on the chapters of information that we have built through RxVIP Concierge and our belief in the handholding between pharmacists and physicians to really deliver better ongoing proactive patient care to decrease the cost of healthcare, but also more importantly, deliver a better life ongoing for our patient as they look to the pharmacist and the physician for answers for chronic disease, but then also just staying healthy in general if they're not suffering. So, Ken, I really like that preface. And Dr. Mulani, we welcome you back anytime.
Thank you very much, Todd and Ken. I really enjoyed talking to you guys today.
It's been our pleasure. And I have 11 friends on Facebook. I like to, you know, share that with my 11 friends. But if you ever want to have a pharmacist with a perspective of the patient care that we bring to the table, I'd love to share. And if you need our voice in any way, shape, or form, you know the people at RxVIP are always available for you as well, sir.
Yeah, sure. I will be in touch and hopefully we can collaborate and get things better for all patients.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
You were on with the Pharmacy Podcast Network's Ken Sternfeld, the Concierge Pharmacist, our very special guest, Dr. Mulani, who you can find more information in our show notes. He is the author of Tough Decisions in Care of Elderly Loved Ones. And as always, we thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.